Well, good evening. Thankful for the Lord's blessings to us through another day. Grateful we can be here at this time. I'd like for us to turn to the 8th chapter of Mark. Mark is one of the four Gospels, we consider them, in the New Testament. Mark is a younger man. Don't know exactly what his age was or when he was born in relationship to Christ being here. But there's a high potential that he was too young to really hear Christ preach and teach. But the gospel that's attributed to Mark, it's because he wrote it down, but it's highly probable, if not definite, that it was the gospel from Peter's perspective. Peter was one of the 12 disciples, original 12. So that's just a little bit of background. And I guess if anything else comes out of the thoughts that we express today, it's the details that are in the words in the scripture. Beginning in the first verse, it says, "In those days, the multitude being very great and having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples unto him and saith unto them." It doesn't give us a specific location, but from the context, it seems like it was somewhere around the shore of the Sea of Galilee. Or what we would call maybe the Sea of Galilee. Jesus said in verse 2, "I have compassion on the multitude because they have now been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat." So it was apparently not in a home village. It wasn't like he had went and was teaching in a village or a small city. It was on the countryside, maybe along the coast of the little sea, or maybe we'd call it more like a big lake of Galilee. And he said they've been here 3 days and they don't have anything to eat. In Hebrews, the 4th chapter in the 15th verse, it says that we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. We probably use the feeling of our infirmities to mean different things. I believe he is touched when we are physically ill, and he has compassion for us. But these people had a need, they had a situation, and Jesus was touched with it because he said, "I have compassion on the multitude." There was something about Christ. He wasn't just there for the money. He wasn't just there for the applause of men. He wasn't there just to see how many followers would come. It wasn't a political rally and he could say, well, my rallies have thousands and thousands of people or anything like that. These people, this was a genuine, sincere situation where these people had come and were listening to the things that Jesus had to say. They were absorbing what he was teaching. They were they were fascinated with, they wanted to hear and absorb everything that he could. In fact, it had got to the point that they had been there for several days. It says 3 days here. And they had pretty much abandoned the necessity of eating. Have you ever been so engrossed in something that you forgot to eat? Anybody? I have. I don't know about 3 days worth, but I've been so engrossed in it, and somebody says, aren't you going to stop to eat? And it's like, well, no, don't bother me. This is what's important right now. But it was more than fishing. It was more than accomplishing something. Maybe you were on a roll, so to speak, on your job and whatever you were doing. I mean, there's times it's like I don't even want to stop to eat. I remember one time my dad went down after he had retired, I believe. He went down to help build a chapel. Another brother was up there, kind of been involved in construction, and they were at the point they were putting the shingles on the roof, I believe, and my dad was very capable of helping things like that, and he was up there helping them with the roof, and they got lunchtime, and the ladies had fixed lunch for the men that were working on the chapel, and if you ever heard the name Brother Lewis Kimball, he was the one that was kind of supervising the project. And he was up there eating, and my dad could get real engrossed in helping with projects like that. And he come away thinking that his estimation and his esteem of Brother Lewis went way up on that day, because when lunchtime came and they wanted everybody to come down to eat, Brother Lewis says, we're not coming down. Said, throw us a sandwich or something. He says, if we come down and eat, we won't want to come back up here. And they were engrossed in putting a roof on. And my dad thought Brother Lewis, now that was somebody to hold to after that. That's the way my dad went at stuff. So these men and women, I think there was women there, most likely there was children, they had become engrossed in what Jesus was teaching. And they had become really interested to the point that I think if somebody would have said, hey, are you hungry? All of those that would have been worried about eating had already left. The people that were there were the ones that were engrossed in what Jesus was saying. The ones that were kind of all of the, I don't know how to say it other than all of those that were just superficially interested in who Jesus was and what Jesus was about and what he had to say, all of them, they'd already went home. They weren't there any longer. After 3 days, all of the insincere or not sincere people would have already gave up. But here we have these that had stayed around 3 days and they didn't have nothing to eat. And Jesus, no matter how much he was appreciative of them being hungry and thirsty for things that he had to teach them, he realized their physical bodies, they need some food. They need something to sustain them. Now, I like to have someone that's really interested in, to have a grandchild that wants to come and be with me, and it don't matter what I'm doing, they're interested in being with me, I'm going to tell you, that is really, really special. The ones that's not really interested, they go back up to the house. But the ones that's real interested, they stay right there with you. And I know a little bit, not near to the extent that Jesus felt here. But Jesus was very, very appreciative of those that was interested in sticking it out. All, like I said, all those that weren't really committed and they were just kind of there for the sightseeing, they'd already went home. They'd seen all they needed to see. But these were the real sincere, genuine people. These were the ones, if you will, the ones that showed up for the other service, you know. The ones that were there for the long haul. And he says he had compassion on them because they didn't have anything to eat. And if I send them away fasting to their own houses, they will faint by the way. For divers, or many of them, that's really what that means, came from afar. There's a number of them here that this wasn't just their home place. They came, they heard that Jesus was in the area, and they had left their duties at home and had come. I don't know how far. Afar might have been a day's journey. A day's journey there, it might not have been but 10 miles or so, but they had come a ways. And his disciples answered him, "From whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness?" And he asked them, "How many loaves have you?" And they said, 7. So I don't know if the disciples had been foregoing food as well, or if they had brought food along with them and they just hadn't been sharing. I don't know. But they still had 7 loaves. However, whatever the case was, there was 7 loaves that they could put their hands on. And he asked, how many loaves you? And they said, 7. Verse 6, and he commanded the people to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves and gave thanks and brake and gave it to his disciples to set before them, and they did set them before the people. And they had a few small fishes, and he blessed them and commanded to set them also before them. So they did eat and were filled. And they took up of the broken meat that was left 7 baskets. And they had eaten, and they that had eaten were about 4,000, and he sent them away. I don't know exactly how much each one had, but it said they were filled. They were satisfied. They had more. They were to the place that they said, no, I don't need any more. I've had enough. I don't want any more bread. I don't want any more fish. I've had plenty. And then of the fragments and the pieces that were left over, they filled 7 baskets. I'm very confident that the 7 loaves they started with weren't enough to fill one basket. All right. So what do we have here? We have a miracle, right? I don't care how you look at it, it's a miracle. And this is a miracle that was in response of Jesus being touched with the feelings of these people's needs, their infirmity. They were hungry. All of our natural bodies would be hungry in 3 days. Did they have food for the first day? Maybe. Maybe some of them had enough food with them for the second day. But maybe there were a few that had brought enough for 3 days. I don't know. But I would say, by and large, we had a crowd of 4,000 plus that were hungry. Not just a little hungry, they were real hungry. And maybe if there were children there, the children were telling their parents, "I'm hungry. When are we going to eat?" And their parents literally did not know. They didn't have a... But Jesus was touched with their need, and he performed a miracle for them right there. Do you think they were asking for a miracle? we don't have any record, and my honest, sincere belief is the people were not chanting and trying to drown Jesus out saying, "We need some food." They weren't doing that. You know how sometimes when a crowd gets together, if they're in dissension with who is up there, I don't care how good the PA system is, if you got 4,000 people chanting, "We don't agree," or "We need food," they're going to overpower the PA system, and they didn't have a PA system there. I believe they were listening with intent to what every word that Jesus said. And Jesus had not been talking about food, except at least literal food. He was giving them food for their soul. He was telling them how to be part of His kingdom. He was telling them how to make their wrongs right. He was pouring His heart out to them, and they were listening very attentively, and yet He was touched with the need He knew they had. And maybe some of them realized they were getting hungry, but they just couldn't bring themselves to leave because they were getting, it was such a blessing to be there in Jesus' presence. And they were convinced. These were the sincere people. This is the thing I want us to get a hold of here tonight. And Jesus did something extraordinary for them. He performed a miracle. So He fed them and sent them away. He said, "I think it's time y'all went home. You need to go back and feed your chickens and take care of your lambs and whatever else you got at the house. You need to go tend your gardens and all of that." In verse 10, it says, "And straightway He entered into a ship." This is why I think it was on the seacoast or the edge of the water. "Straightway He entered into a ship with His disciples and came into parts of Dalmanutha," wherever that was. "And the Pharisees came forth and began to question with Him, seeking of Him a sign from heaven, tempting Him." So they came and began to pressure Him to do something miraculous for a demonstration purpose. What a difference in the attitude. What a complete turnaround. You remember this morning we read over there in Luke how the Pharisees had come to Him and Jesus had said, "You tithe of all of your worldly goods and you follow all these rules and regulations and all of that, but you've overlooked judgment and the love of God." And here they came to Jesus and they didn't come to Him. These were the ones that maybe had left that other group. These are the ones that didn't stay for 3 days. And when Jesus come in contact, it sees the first thing that they wanted, they said to Jesus was, "Show us a sign. Prove it to us." The Pharisees came forth and began to question with Him, seeking of Him a sign from heaven, a miraculous demonstration proven to them. They were important, you see. And they wanted to prove to them that He was really the Messiah. And He sighed deeply in His spirit. What happens when you sigh deeply in your spirit? It's a disappointment. It's a disappointment. These were men just like the 4,000 were. They were the message and the gospel was for them just like it was the others. And yet they came to Him and they immediately wanted Him to do some kind of demonstration. Um, And he, that's talking about Jesus, sighed deeply in his spirit, and he saith, why do this generation seek after a sign? Why do they always want it their way? Why do they have to try to make it fit them? He said, verily I say unto you, there shall no sign be given unto this generation, to this group, to this attitude. You know, we're all going to face that to some extent. Some people is going to say, well, if you're a Christian, turn this stone to bread. If you're a Christian, let me see you do a miracle. If you're a Christian, can you walk on water? If you're a Christian, can you do this? Will you do that? We're going to face that type of thing. And that's the generation. I don't know that it... You know, those other people were the same generation age-wise as these people were. So I think he was talking about something a little more specific. He was talking about this type of person, not just this age, not just the Gen X, Gen Z, millennial, baby boomer, whatever, wherever people fit into all of that stuff. That's not what I think he was addressing. He was addressing this mentality, you got to prove it to me. If you can walk on water, I'll accept that you're a Christian. If you'll turn this stone into bread, I'll believe you're a Christian. I believe you're Jesus if you can do some kind of sign. And they weren't willing to lay aside anything so different than the 4,000. And he left them. He left the other people too, didn't he? He left them and entered into the ship again, departed to the other side. So I'd like for us to just consider the two different generations, is what the Bible calls them. Two different groups. And ask us, how are we coming to Christ and His... How do we come into His presence? Lord, if you're real, make all my problems go away. Is that how we're coming? Are we coming to Him, Lord, I love you. I want to be in your presence. I want to be near you. And I forgot all about my cows that might get out. I forgot all about my wood that I need to cut and my garden I need to plant. Because I'm here bowing myself before your face and your feet. And I want your presence and I want your blessing. You know, those 4,000, they wanted Christ's presence. They wanted to be in His presence. And they wanted His... they wanted to see His countenance. And the Pharisees wanted to see Him do something for them. wanted to see a performance. And I think sometimes people come to service. I don't mean this towards anybody here. I think sometimes people come to service and they want to see a performance. I think it's so important for us to come and want to be in the presence of the Lord. I want to be one of those 4,000. I want the Lord to see me come and willing to pour out of myself and to be in a place where His compassion can look down on me and say, What did he say? I have compassion on the multitude. I have compassion on those folks. I want to do something for them before I send them home. You know, I want to come to our worship services with an attitude of, Lord, I want to be in your presence. Is there any way that you can share? I want to be there. Whether I see something that's miraculous or not, I want to be in your presence. I want to lay aside all of the things that my brain has been thinking about. I want to lay aside the things that seem to absorb all of my time and my energy. And I want to be in a place where I can see your smile, where I can see your face. And Lord, I want to hear your voice, if at all possible. That's the attitude that I see in these people. You know, all the ones that were there to see the bangs and see the big demonstration, they'd already left after 3 days. You know, been around the work environment a long time now. I guess it's a long time. Feels like yesterday or so when I got started, but I've seen people come and seen people go. I've seen people come to the place that I worked, and oh, when they got there, they were going to set the world on fire, so to speak. That's a figure of speech. And sometimes it took just a day or two, and sometimes it took a month or two, and sometimes it took a year, but I've seen them get to the point that they didn't want to come to work anymore. I've seen them get to the point that they didn't care anymore. And I've seen them come to the place that maybe the owner or the manager said, we don't need you here anymore, and seen them go. All of those that came for the flash, for the sparkle, they'd already left after 3 days. 3 days and no food, you'd have to be pretty serious to stick around. I'm going to be pretty serious. I want to be serious for the Lord. I want to stick around until He has compassion. Smells in our assembly. I don't want to have the attitude of the Pharisees that says, come on, show me a sign. If you're really the Messiah, you ought to be able to whatever. If this is really the truth, then you ought to see this and you ought to see that, and there ought to be some demonstration. I want to worship the Lord in spirit and truth to the point that He has compassion on me. I believe He can do those miracles. I believe He can make 7 loaves feed 4,000 people today. But He's not going to do it to somebody that demands it of Him. He's going to do it out of compassion, because we truly worship Him, because we love Him. I want Him to be able to have the liberty to work in my life. I want to be in a place that He can work in my life. I want to be sincere enough. I want to be dedicated enough that He has compassion on me. And I believe He will. I've got confidence that He will. I believe He'll do it for all of us here. You pray for me. Because there's times in my own self that I feel like I sigh deeply in my spirit. And we all face those things of big disappointments in life. And I want to be faithful. I want to be a faithful Christian. And I want to be what the Lord would have me to be. You pray for me.